Hey, Life Church family, welcome to Church Online. Thank you for gathering with us here. If you are new, welcome. We are so glad that you are joining us. My name is Erin, and I serve on our amazing Kids Life Dream Team. When we get started, there is a live prayer tab on our website, lifechurchmaine.org. And if you need prayer or need to talk to somebody, please don't hesitate to click on that. Somebody is ready and waiting to talk to you. Also, at the end of service, we will be taking communion. If you want to participate, feel free to grab some crackers and some juice from your home and take that with us. Now let's prepare our hearts and worship God together. Worship team, it's always so good to worship God together. If you could pull out your app, Life Church Maine, and go to our sermon notes, they are there to help you better follow along. So please fill that out as the message is being spoken. Also there, you'll find our connection card. We'd love for you to put your name and any information you are comfortable giving, your prayer requests, and your pray for ones so that we can come alongside you during this time. You will also find our gift tab. When we partner with God in our finances, we are able to do more to grow His kingdom, and God blesses us in the process. So thank you for your generosity. We have baptisms coming up on January 24th, and we are so excited. If you would like to get baptized or want more information, please fill out that on the connection card. Now let's get cozy and enjoy the rest of the service. Thank you.
How's everybody doing? Well, Happy New Year to everyone. Do you know what changed? You think you're still in 2020, don't you? Some of you, maybe some of us think that, right? Well, I found this young buck here at 21 Days of Prayer the other day, and I said, yeah, you want to be a preacher? He said, sure. I said, come on down. No, this is David Unley. If you guys don't know him, he's Pastor Brian and Raquel's youngest son. And
best looking.
And best looking, okay. He has the same personality, I can see. So we're going to have some fun here. Let's pray before we get started with our message. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to give your word. Lord, we're asking that it's your spirit that touches us. Open up our ears to hear your message, Lord. It's not about what David and I say. It's what you want us to hear. Stir in our heart. Help us to see what we need to work on and change. Help us to make 2021 the best year ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we get into the message, I want to just talk to you about one thing that's coming up on the 24th is a baptism. We're doing baptisms here, and we got a few folks signed up for that. If you've never been baptized, or maybe you were as a child, or maybe you didn't understand that you got baptized, what it was, and maybe you've made a commitment now, or a recommitment, or just found Jesus, this is the time for you. So sign up on your connection card. If you can go to our app, which is Life Church Maine, and do a couple things if you could. There's a connection card, if you could fill that out, which you can sign up for baptisms there. And also let us know what's going on. We'd love to pray for you and your family, so you can put that information on there also. And also there's a little box called Sermon Notes where you can follow along with the message. I hope you do that and be able to follow along with what we're saying, and that'll bless you and keep you engaged in the service. Well, like I said before, Happy New Year, man. Are you guys excited for 2021? How about you guys at home? Anybody excited for 2021? You know, yeah, I guess you are. So am I, you know. You know, last week, Pastor Brian said in the message, and it was a great message, he said, we're on a happiness hunt. We're on this happiness hunt. We're striving for happiness, right? You know, and what we call in Christian circles, peace, right? We want peace. How many here would like more peace in your life? Half of you. The other half are like, I'm good. I've got enough of that. I put that on direct on Amazon. It comes every week in a box. No. I don't know. But you know, unfortunately, a lot of us in our search for peace find counterfeits, don't we? And maybe, I don't know about you, if you learned this, but I have in my life, you know. I instead of peace, I would find pieces of stuff to make me happy. You know, whether it was food, another piece of pie. You know, I think I need to work on that after this last Christmas holiday. It's been awesome. I really don't think I can eat another piece of candy for maybe 6 months or so. I don't know. There's candy everywhere. It seems like this. You look like you're in shape, though. You don't have any problems with food, do you?
You'd be surprised. And down in Birmingham, they got a whole bunch of candy and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, Birmingham. They have special candy, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So there's pieces that we try instead of peace itself that we look for. Maybe it's a substance. You know, I need that drink. I deserve that. Or maybe just a little more smoke or whatever it is, or whatever it is. Or maybe it's a person or it's a someone that, if I could just have them, I would be peaceful. Or maybe it's the American dream. No, if I had this perfect house with the white picket fence in the backyard with the dog and all these things, I would have peace. Or if I had my dream job, if I could work there, if I could have this salary or this or that, I could have peace. You know, the older I get, the more I think about retirement. I know that it's hard for you to think that I'm that old.
It's right around the corner for me.
but yeah, I mean, about 10 years from now, I could technically retire. I don't know if I'll ever retire, my wife says, probably not. But you know what? That's a dream for a lot of people, to get so much in the bank and they can retire or be able to travel or you know, move to Florida. That's one of the things that a lot of my friends will say, someday I'm going to get a place in Florida and I'm going to retire and everything is going to be perfect. So there's things that we look for. Or, you know, today, in today's culture, you know, there's this thing called Netflix and chill. If you don't know what that is, that's good, especially if you're young. You don't know what that is.
But don't Google it.
What's that?
Don't Google it.
Don't Google it. Okay. You know, because why do young folks, whatever, like to party and maybe have, honestly, one-night stands and all? Because we're looking for peace. We're looking for that to relieve the stress. We're looking for all these things that are going to make us happy and full of peace. You know, I've seen on social media and talking to a lot of people that they're saying recently to me, 2021 is going to be so good. I can't wait for 2021. I saw a guy the other day that had a mask on at 2020 sucks. And I was like, okay. And there's probably some truth to that, but putting all of our hopes in 2021, it's going to be better. Everything is going to be easier, right? I think we found out that that's not necessarily the case, huh? Kind of reminds me of a couple songs. You know, just a few years ago, John Mayer wrote the song, I'm waiting for the world to change. I'm waiting for the world to change. And when I was younger, back in the 70s, that was a decade, a few years ago. Okay. He's like, what's the 70s? Was that a TV show? There's a band called 10 Years After that wrote this song, I would love to change the world. You know, and Jesus said this, you know, you're going to have troubles in this world. He said it in John. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So things are never going to be perfect. We, as human beings, we want things to change. We want things to be peaceful. But unfortunately, in our lives and our worlds, it's not always going to be the case. Paul wrote this in Romans. He said, for the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of what we eat or drink. It's not a matter of the stuff we have. It's not a matter of the things, let's say, so to speak. But of living life, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Spirit. Let this sink in. That's what the king, we want to experience that peace that comes from the kingdom of God. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, you, he's talking to God. God will keep us in perfect peace. All who trust in him, all in trust in you, he says, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You know, we started the new year and we started this series in Matthew, and we asked you all to join us on this daily devotional. And to go through it, you can click, you can see this is our app, a picture of it. You can just click on the daily devotional and follow along. I think it's Monday through Friday. And Pastor Brian has like about a 5-minute video kind of describing the scripture. We're going through the book of Matthew, and I highly recommend you guys follow along. It only takes a few minutes a day, and it would be awesome for you to do that. We just started going through the Sermon on the Mount, that great sermon of Jesus, and he covers so many areas to educate us. And you know, it's in Matthew 5, I think it was, that he talked about the Sermon on the Mount. It goes on to 6, and he says this, you know, he says, God blesses, right? He blesses all kinds of things. He blesses the merciful. He blesses the humble. He blesses the ones that are searching for justice. He blesses, he says here in Matthew 5, those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. How does that strike you? You're a child of God. Doesn't that make you feel good? I am a child of God. I am on the team. He loves me. He's adopted me. I'm his child. God blesses those who work for peace. Interesting, though, he says, who work for peace. Why does he say we have to work for peace? Because I believe it's not natural for us. I don't think it's humanly possible for us. We might have little moments of happiness. We might have little moments here of peace. But for really to have the peace that comes from him, we can't create it. It's not natural for us. And there's a story in the Bible that hit me. You know, as we were going through some goals in our staff, and I was talking to God, and I always do at the beginning of the year, and I always ask him, you know, what do you want me to do this year? And the word that came to me was peace. It just kept coming to me, peace. And then he directed me to a scripture in John. And here's an example of the apostles. This is right after Jesus had died. I'll read it to you. It says, that Sunday, it's the Sunday he rose from the dead. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were excited to share the good news. No, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Why? Because they just saw their leader, the Messiah, brutally executed. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. I don't think a minute, you know, God said we're going to have new bodies. You know, and I'm excited about that, especially the older I get, man. I'm excited. Can you imagine we can just kind of show up somewhere? That'd be kind of cool. Well, Jesus did. The doors were locked. They were scared. And all of a sudden, he shows up. And what are his first words to his disciples? Peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Why did he say peace? Because they didn't have any. They were afraid. They thought they were next. I think they were trying to maybe manufacture themselves. They're trying to figure it out in their head, you know, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? And he told me he was leaving. He told me he was coming back. They were trying to use their own strength, their own mind, their own abilities to have that peace. You know, when I asked David, I was talking to him, I asked him to speak with me a little bit, and we were going through this, and he said, man, I can relate to that. You know, David grew up in this church. He was born, I think, in this church right over here.
My umbilical cord is somewhere around here. So you're always done.
Cleaning crew will be on that after. So. But you know, I mean, I watched him, you know, be involved in church and ministries and have relationships. And when he said, I can relate to that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. I didn't know that. So why don't you just tell me a little about yourself and
how this works? So, I mean, like you said, I grew up in the church. My parents have been pastors here for quite a long time. For those of you who don't know, I have a brother, Luke, who's actually on staff here for a while. If you haven't met him, you know, he looks just like me. If you took 2 inches off and made him a little bit less attractive, but I mean, he's a great guy. Love him. A few of the difference between him and me, you know, he'll get up here and he'll talk theology with you. You know, he's super intellectual, I guess you'd call it. He loves to get up here and talk. I'd rather, get down off here and go hang out and have a cup of coffee. It's just something about me. Public speaking is not my forte. But I grew up in the church. My parents were pastors. I was a PK. You know, I always had a faith. I always believed in God. And you know, when I was a kid, I had a relationship with him. But as I got older, it kind of faded a little bit. I didn't have quite the relationship with God that I used to. I loved being at church. I love the people here. I love Life Church. It's amazing. But I never really had a real relationship with God. I loved being at church, but I didn't really know the God that I was serving. You know, as I got older, got into kind of my end of my high school career, and I realized that I had a call to ministry. I knew that I was supposed to go into ministry. And, you know, at first I did not want to do that at all. But as I got closer to the end, I realized that, you know, that was the path for me. I knew I was supposed to go into ministry. So I decided I was going to go to Bible college. My brother Luke went into the same college I went to, Highlands College. And one thing, if you don't know what Bible college is about, it's basically like regular college if you got married at 21 and had 2 kids. I don't know what it is about Bible college, but everyone gets married by the time they're 19. It's a little weird. But so I went down to Bible college. You know, I loved it. I made some really, really good friends. But, you know, I had the same problem. I didn't really have a relationship with God. I wasn't getting a lot of joy out of the serving that I was doing down at the church down in Birmingham. You know, I loved being down there. I loved the friends I was making, but I still didn't have that relationship with God. I still had no peace about what I was really doing. And, you know, the more I served in the church down there, the more I was there on a Sunday, the more I actually got drained. And all I could think about was, man, when am I going to get home? When am I going to be done with this? When can I just leave this situation? And I had the thought, man, I've told people that ministry is my future and that's what I want to do. But all I can think about is, when can I be done with this? And I had the thought, man, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And then I realized my dad has been doing this for 30 years. He must be out to lunch because I'm miserable after 1 year. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do, honestly. And luckily, you know, I said I'd surrounded myself with some really, really good friends, some really godly friends who noticed, you know, that I was struggling and that I didn't really have a real relationship with my Heavenly Father. So, you know, through them, they kind of pushed me to pursue that relationship rather than what I like to call is I'd been practicing a religion rather than a relationship. I didn't have that relationship aspect. So I was just trying to serve on my own strength. And my friends saw that, called that out in me, and kind of pushed me like to start pursuing that relationship. And so, you know, finally made the decision, well, if I'm going to do ministry for the rest of my life, I might as well make it try not to suck. So I'll do it. I'll pursue this relationship. And, you know, so I started small. I started reading my Bible, started trying, you know, just pray. And slowly but surely, you know, I found that when you pursue God, he'll pursue you right back. I started building my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so I started in on this honeymoon phase, I call it. You know, I was just every day, I was talking to God. I felt that warm feeling inside all the time. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved every second of it. You know, serving took on a new meaning. I actually enjoyed serving people in the church. I actually enjoyed going to church. I enjoyed hearing God's word and hearing his voice. You know, it was amazing. One thing about a relationship with God, though, is it doesn't just come, you know, the honeymoon phase ends. Eventually, you know, the tests arrive. And for me, that was a chapel that I had. I was sitting inside a chapel service, and I had just found out from my school that we were actually going to be able to go home a month early. And my thought was, let's go. I'm going to go home and have some fun. You know, I've been doing the servant thing. I'm building my relationship with God. I've been serving in the church. Now it's time to go home and have some fun with my old buddies. They're waiting for me. So, and, you know, that was my first thought when I heard that news. So I was sitting in this chapel, and honestly, the speaker, couldn't tell you his name, don't know what he looked like, don't even know what he talked about. But I know I was sitting there, and I had the thought, I felt God kind of speak to me, like, David, you need to stay in Birmingham for another month. There's still more that God needs to do in you. And, you know, my first thought was, you know, bump that. I want to go home. I want to go see my buddies. But, you know, it was like a week-long decision. It took me a week. You know, I was just kind of wrestling with God, I guess you'd call it, because, I really wanted to go home. And this was kind of the first, I guess, first test, you'd call it, of my relationship. The first time I had to really be like, okay, God, like, I have a relationship with you, but I am actually willing to put down, like, my desires, my, what I wanted to do. So, I decided, all right, God, like, I'm going to listen to you. I'm gonna stay for another month. I'm going to see what you have to do in me. And almost, like, immediately, like, this peace just came over me like I had never experienced before. Because, you know, before I'd been serving in the church off my own strength and without a relationship with God, and I had anxiety and just start to well up about my future. And when I finally made the decision, like, all right, God, I'm going to listen to you. I mean, just a peace like no other came over. It was amazing. But
awesome, buddy. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, man, that was great. So you experienced peace because you obeyed, obviously. You followed. You heard his voice in your spirit. And you said, but you did what the next part of that scripture is. And I'm going to spend a little time with it, which is pretty cool. It says in John 20, 21, again, he said, peace be with you. Now, Jesus said this twice to them. Peace be with you. And he goes on, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You know, that in the beginning of David's story, he was talking about how he was just serving and it was kind of, you know, it wasn't fun anymore. Or it was like a burden for you, you know.
Yeah, it was draining.
Yeah.
All I could think about was, when can I get home and play some video games?
Well, back then they didn't have video games. The disciples didn't have it. I mean, what would they call the video games, you know? What would they call them?
I think that's tic-tac-toe in the sand is what you're talking about. Okay.
They probably had Pong back then, because I remember that. No, but you know, but they were trying. They were in that room, right? They were afraid because they had lost Jesus, and they were trying to. They lost their joy, their peace, and they were going through the motions. Maybe ever been in that spot, going like David was talking about, going through the motions. You're coming to church. You're doing this. You're doing things to check it off. You're reading even your Bible. Are you doing it on your own energy or your own abilities? And he goes on, like I said, Jesus says, peace be with you again, right? He says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Why does he say peace be with you twice? You know, if you look at the word peace, it's, I think it's in Hebrew, it's shalom. You probably have heard that before. But shalom means harmony, yes, and peace, but also means complete or wholeness. See, Jesus knew they were lacking. They were lacking him. They were lacking him. They had forgotten about him. And just a few hours earlier, he was with them and he was gone. And your peace was gone. But that second part is really cool because he says, you know, as God, as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. It's interesting how the peace was tied into an action. It was tied into something that they were going to do. And David, you had from that chapel experience you shared to me the other day, that you also then, because of that, I think it was 30 days that you waited, right? That you had something else happen that also was pretty cool. Why don't you share that?
Yeah, so I mean, after my decision to stay in Birmingham a little bit longer, I figured, all right, I'm going to be here another 30 days. Might as well not just sit on my butt. Might as well actually do something. So a serve opportunity came up. It's called Giving Hope. And what Giving Hope was is the church goes out, buys a whole bunch of gifts for families who can't provide gifts for their own kids. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to go serve this. I'm going to go help out. So I figured, I showed up, figured I'd stack some chairs, you know, just do some manual labor. I didn't think I'd really be helping out that much, but I figured, you know, I'm here, I'll go do it. So I showed up, figured I was stacking some chairs, and once I showed up, the people, the dude over it actually told me, he's like, hey, I need you to be a gift host. And what a gift host was is what you do is the people who are coming in to actually get the gifts, I would go and meet them, talk to them, you know, learn their story, and actually help them pick out gifts for their kids. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, that's a little scary. I don't know if I want to do that. I'd rather just stack some chairs. But, you know, I ended up doing it, and it was amazing. This one 35-year-old guy actually came in. You know, I talked to a bunch of people, but this one guy kind of stood out. He came in with his mother, and, you know, he kind of just told me his story. He told me about he'd come upon a really, really hard time. He'd just lost his job. He'd been through a divorce. He was starting to lose control of his kids, and now he, you know, wasn't financially able to, you know, provide gifts for his kids. So, you know, that's why he was here. And, you know, I mean, my heart just, like, broke for this dude. It was unbelievable to, you know, hear that story. And, you know, I don't have anything profound to share with this guy. I was just listening to him and just sharing what God had done in my life and sharing the love that I had for God. And, you know, went through the day, picked out their gifts, and actually both him and his mom, you know, for different reasons, ended up, like, actually crying just because of, you know, the love that they'd experienced through that day, seeing all the people willing to, you know, let their kids have a Christmas. You know, it was amazing to see how much they cared and how much it meant to them. And it was actually the mom, at the end of all of it, actually came up to me, and I take no credit for this. It wasn't anything I did. It was, you know, the whole church, but she actually mentioned to me that because, you know, everything she had seen that day and because of all the willing hearts and the love of Christ that she'd experienced that day, she was actually, you know, willing to give church a second chance. And that to me was, you know, that hit me. That was amazing to hear. And up until this point, I'd mentioned before, serving in the church, doing anything in the church, like, I was it exhausted me. I wanted, you know, I enjoyed it, but all I could think about was, my mind was on video games. My mind was on getting home. But, I mean, after my decision to stay here, my mentality started to change. All of a sudden, serving actually became something that fueled me, and, you know, it gave me, you know, gave me peace. I got a peace that I, like, no other that I'd ever experienced before. You know, before I, you know, when I served, all I could think about was when I could get done. But now I was actually getting fueled by just even listening to this guy's story and hearing, you know, the things that he was going through, and that his mom was actually willing to give God and church a second chance. So one thing I realized through all of it is that my peace hinges on submitting to God and a relationship with God rather than anything that I can produce myself.
Amen. Thank you, man. Let's give him a hand. Great job, huh? It's awesome. Thank you so much. What a great story. Again, you necessarily weren't experiencing peace like the disciples were. A little different scenario, but you weren't experiencing that. They weren't either. You decided to listen and then decided to do something. As the Father has sent me, I send you, Jesus said. So if you're taking notes, if you could follow along with me in this scripture that I was reading from John 20, it's kind of ironic that it's John 20, verse 21, considering the year they're in. It's a little bonus there, I guess. But look at this. Jesus provides peace. He provides it. He's the source of peace. We can't figure out on our own. I know we've tried. We can't fill our life with stuff that is ever going to really satisfy us as much as he is. And in David's story, he experienced that. I mean, he's a young guy. What are you, 19 years old?
Yep, 19.
Yeah, I just
20
got,
soon.
I got a few years ahead of you. But he experienced that. The same thing. He experienced that. Maybe you have experienced that too. Maybe you've tried it yourself. Maybe you tried to fill your soul with other things. It hasn't worked. It says here in that scripture, Paul writes this, may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. See, he's the source of it. He gives you peace. Then in that same scripture, he gives us a call to action. He tells us to do the next thing. I'm sending you. He says, Jesus sends us, if you're taking notes, he sends us out to be peace ambassadors. Peace ambassadors. You know, if you ever played that game when you were a kid, show and tell, You know, and I was talking to my wife, Christine, about it. She got so excited. It was one of her favorite games as a kid. And she told me about this one thing that she found a bee's nest maybe at one time that didn't have bees in it. But she brought it to school and she was showing her friends and everybody thought it was cool. And she remembers as a child bringing that to school. And I heard we're just talking about show and tell, lit her up. She was telling me more stories about it. And I was like, wow, I was trying to remember what the game was. You know, I don't remember doing it. I mean, I think I might have brought a BB gun in to school when I was a kid. You know, can't do that today, you know. But Jesus' life was the original show and tell. It's interesting how it's show and tell. A lot of us like to tell and then maybe show. No, it's show and tell. That's exactly what Jesus did. He called us to be a part of this great commission, it says, commission, which is not by ourselves, but this mission to reach the world and let them know the good news, that he came to give us that peace. He came to save us. We're called the body of Christ, you know. You see it referenced all the time. He's the head and we're the body. We work together. So when Jesus left, he said he'd give us the Holy Spirit. He says, we're here to take his place and to bring his peace to others. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, what am I going to do? How do I do that? How am I a peace ambassador? You know, I like to know, what can I do when I hear something like, okay, I get it. What do I do? You probably have heard us talk about this idea of pray for one. And we ask you to do that. God, send me one person today to share your love with. Maybe you kind of drifted this last year in 2020. Maybe you can relate to those guys that were huddled in a room. It's interesting that verse 20, Jesus shows his scars, his wounds. Have we been wounded this last year? Have we had some challenges? Yeah. Have we had some major struggles? Maybe some major defeats? Maybe some things that we didn't think we could ever survive through? Yeah, maybe we did. But if we unite ourselves with him and say, hey, God, I'm gonna do what Jesus said. I'm gonna go out like he told his disciples. I am sending you. That's us. He's sending us to do what? To be peace ambassadors. The world needs it so bad. Oh my gosh. If there's ever a time that we need more peace, it's right now, folks. And you can be a part of that. And God is asking you to be a part of it. Maybe you're at home and you're saying, I don't know, what can I do? You can pray. When's the last time you sent a card to somebody? Just a handwritten note, say, hey, hope you're doing well, or I haven't seen you in a while, or whatever. Say something good. When's the last time you've done that? Or maybe you buy something from somewhere, and I don't know about you, but I'm not good at this, but give a positive review. I forget to do that sometimes. I just did one the other day, and I was like, my gosh, I should do this more often. This person was awesome, and I thanked them, but I didn't do that. They sent me a message saying, thank you. I mean, this is a little tiny thing, but you know what? It's the little things that make a big difference, right? Or maybe you can go shopping, right? How many of you here go shopping for food every week or go shopping? I go to the store, and I see the carts, right? The shopping carts out in the parking lot. I always grab an extra one and bring it in. I'm just trying to do stuff like that because you know what? We are the representatives of Christ in our world. You might not think that's a big deal. Maybe you're in line somewhere and let somebody else get in front of you. You can tell maybe they're busy. They got a lot of things going on. Just let them in line in front of you. What's another 5 minutes going to matter? Some of us get competitive, you know. We want to, I'm not going to let them get ahead of me. Imagine if you just did these little things like that. Here's something. You probably have your phones if you're at home or with me here. And grab your phone. Just take it out and take a look. Go through your contacts real quick or your whatever you got. Just take a second and do that. And I want you right now to send a text to somebody that you haven't seen in a while. Or haven't talked to in a while, and just say, hey, just thinking about you. Hope you're doing okay. Now, if you're a guy, don't send it to a girl, okay? okay? All right. Unless it's your wife or you know, your sister or your mom. But just do that right now. Just take a minute and do that. While I'm talking right now, just do that. You will feel so good because you're going to get a response. It might not be immediate, but you'll get a response. Thank you for thinking about me. Thank you. I do this all the time, not because I'm anything special. Come on, it doesn't take rocket science to do that. But you know what? I ask God to send me one person today. Sometimes it's just a text. But it means the world to that person. I had somebody call me up. I think it was last week or so, whatever it was. And they just called me out of the blue. And he said, Tom, I'm just thinking about you, and I want to thank you. And he went on a list of things that I had done. And I'd forgotten some of the things I'd done for him. And I'm not sitting here looking, oh, look at me. It has nothing to do with that. He was just thanking me. And I got off that call, and I felt so stinking good. I just felt so good. And you know what it did? It motivated me to do that for somebody else. How about this? When somebody's talking about something, maybe there's a lot of things going on in our world right now. Whether it's political or whatever it is, and they're getting all fired up, and you become the peacemaker by saying, you know what? Hey, man, it's tough what's going on. We can't change that, but hey, let's do the best we can today, or encourage them, or maybe change the subject if you have to, or try to do something to direct the conversation in a good way. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. It seems like as a peace ambassador, we have to diffuse the situation and help people maybe come down off of that cliff they're about ready to jump off of or whatever it is. But we can do that. And every time I've done that for somebody, they've been like, Tom, thank you. I really needed to hear that. I really needed to just stop. Maybe we have to shut off some things right now. You know, we're talking about fasting things right now during this 21 days that we're 21 days of prayer and fasting, or asking you to maybe consider fasting something. I don't know, maybe you've never done that before. And I wouldn't recommend doing a severe thing, but maybe you can shut off some social media or the TV, or maybe you can spend more time reading your devotional, going through the book of Matthew with us, or doing something that is going to encourage you. Maybe if you're at home and you haven't been to church yet, maybe you can have somebody that... you can have, if you're okay, have somebody watch the service with you every week. Or maybe you can do the devotional. One of the gals on staff is doing this. She's actually got a couple gals that haven't been back to church yet. And I think they're immune compromised. And they're doing the devotional. And they're commenting on it, I guess, like two or three times a week on what they read that day. They're just texting each other back and forth. If we can do that, can't we? We can. You are peace ambassadors. You have been called by Jesus Christ to share the peace of God to the world. And you can do something. Don't let an excuse of COVID, don't let an excuse of anything else in your life stop you from doing what you can do, because you can do something. You can help. You can encourage. You can bless other people. Because you know what? There's a lot of kids like David. Maybe they're not in Bible school. Maybe they're not in the same track that he is. But they need a dose of peace, just like he did. He needed a dose of peace. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for sharing. You did a great job. Didn't you do an awesome job? Man, we're just so blessed to have this youngster here. And I want to pray for him as he goes back to school. I think he's going back to school tomorrow. Heading back to school. Is there anything you'd want to say before we close up?
No, I mean, I'm just so thankful that I got this opportunity. I think all of y'all watching this and listening to me, you've had way more life experience than I have. So I'm just glad that I got to share the little bit that I learned with y'all. It's an honor.
All right. Thank you. Let's pray for him if we could. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for David and his willing heart to follow you. Thank you for, as he heads back to Alabama, that not only does he enjoy the warm weather, but he enjoys the closeness that he's going to get with you, that he just continues his relationship and get closer and gets closer and invests and does the work to be a peace ambassador to everyone he encounters down south and anywhere he goes. Lord, if you call him to come back here, which would be awesome, we would love to have him here, but that's up to you and him, Lord. But we ask you to continue to show him your wisdom, your path, continue to give him fruitfulness, continue to open up his eyes, his heart, and his spirit to receive from you what you have for him. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're going to all take communion. And if you're at home, if you could take a cracker or a piece of bread and maybe a cup of juice, I'd love to have you join us for communion. It's just something that, you know, when I was a kid, I was raised Catholic, and I remember we did communion every week, and I really didn't have a clue what it was. I really didn't have any idea what I was doing. I was kind of going through the motions. And then once I started coming here and reading the Bible and started to understand really what this was, Jesus said what? Do this to remember me. Do this to remember my example. Do this to remember the peace that I've given you all. Do this to remember your calling. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you to be peace ambassadors. Let's take the bread if we could. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this bread that represents your body that was broken for us. We were all doomed. We have all sinned. We didn't have a chance. You volunteered, Jesus. You volunteered to take our spot. You volunteered to pay our price. Father, you said that you love us so much that you sent your son for us. Thank you. Thank you and praise you. Let's take the bread together. That same night when he was with his buddies, you know, and he's getting ready to tell them that he's leaving and they're having a meal, he takes a cup and he says, this is my blood that is going to be shed for you. And this is going to represent a new covenant. The door is now open. The veil is now torn. You now have access to God through me. So as you get ready to take that, just take a moment and ask yourself, do I understand this? Do I understand the sacrifice? Have I accepted Christ? Have I said yes to him? Maybe you've never crossed that line. Maybe you've never said, you know, I'm in. I need you. After this last year and all the things that we've been faced with, I tried to get peace and I haven't been able to succeed. And I need the peace that comes from you, God. I need you. I say yes to you. Lord, we thank you for this sacrifice and this new covenant. In Jesus' name, let's take it together. Father God, thank you for this word that you gave us in John. Thank you for the ability to be able to share this opportunity here to speak with David. And most importantly, thank you for you and to help us to remember as we take communion how much you love us, Lord. We ask you to never let us forget it. We ask you to every day to say thank you. We ask you to help us have a heart that's open to hear what you want us to do. And as Jesus says to his disciples, I am sending you, help us to be sent to be peace ambassadors to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God together.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ.
thank you all for joining us online today. We want you to know that we love you and we miss you, and we are here if you need anything. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We are here for you and we love you. Have a great week.